Welcome to the final bell, the top placed to the final bell, brought to you by Thirsty Camel. And I say top placed because the Cats are sitting out and proud in first position on the ladder. What a sensational win it was on Easter Monday. I'm still on a high from it. I'm sure everybody in this entire building is as well. I know Zach Tui is. I know Scotty Gallen is. And they joined me again for this week. Hello, gentlemen.
Howdy.
Good afternoon.
How good was that?
It was very impressive.
Ooh, good fun. We're gonna talk all about the Cats' fantastic win against the Hawks. VFL had a good win as well, and Zach will tell us how he went, Scotty. Don't worry about that. A little bit later on, we're going to talk with the GM of footy, Simon Lloyd, who Zach tells us is the best-dressed man in
Absolutely.
The entire football club, making all those important list management decisions. And the way some of these players are playing, making some very good list management decisions. We will answer your questions, as we always do, and we'll get to For Whom the Bell Tolls a little bit later on. But let's talk Easter Monday football. I've got one little stat for you, Scotty.
You are champion data now.
We're going to celebrate this man from the start. The man, according to at Sir Swamp Thing, Dave Frith on the Twitter, the stats guru from Channel 7 along with Josh Kay, has said the most wins in VFL AFL games on Easter weekends. There's 1,432 players with one win, and goes through all the different players who've won certain number of wins on Easter weekend. To 12 wins on Easter weekend, standing alone as the most, Gary Ablett Jr. What a game that man played. He had me up out of my seat, carrying on like a full footy nuffy, taking hangers, kicking goals, setting them up, doing everything. How good was he?
Oh, it was amazing, given, you know, there's been a little week of controversy. There was a bit of booing, which I'd like your take on, because I wasn't there.
There was a fair amount of booing, but I sensed this season, and perhaps even last season, Gary's been booed anyway.
Why?
Well, because he's so good, I reckon. Because he came back. Well, maybe.
He left the Gold Coast Suns people brokenhearted.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. The great players get a boo, but...
Yeah, and I'm always for people... Fans are entitled to boo if they want to and to carry on. I loved at the end when Gary got a touch late in the game and a lot of the Hawthorn supporters had left the MCG figuring the game was over, and the Cats fans gave Gary a huge cheer, drowned out any leftover boos from the Hawthorn fans. I thought, yep, good on you. Gaz is going all right.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'd wear it like a badge of honour if I was just randomly getting booed. Because it has to be because he's Gaz, doesn't
he's
it?
He's so good.
Because it happened in round one. Like, it's not like this is just because it was Hawthorn. And
there would be a small percentage of yesterday's crowd. It would have been because of the social media stuff during the week. I was fine and accepted Gary's explanation on Instagram. I don't agree with his views and what was posted by Israel Folau. But I certainly agree with their right to have the say. There is a thing called freedom of speech. You don't have to. In fact, you can passionately disagree with people's views, but they're entitled to say it, aren't they, Scotty?
Absolutely. I know both of them have. I mean, Israel Folau was a different case. He'd been warned not to for various reasons, and then you do it. So that's breaking
Gaz
a...
liked it.
Liked
and then
it.
Unliked it. It's not quite the same.
No, it's definitely not. And then he explained what he did. That's fine. I mean, like Chris Scott said afterwards, keep booing him. I mean,
that's the result. Yeah, go for your life.
23 disposals, 3 goals, 8 inside 50s, 11 score involvement, 626 metres gained, 8 marks.
That's huge.
And 10 pressure tackles.
I mean, that's from a half-forward flanker.
626 gained is massive.
And he's what?
For anyone.
47 years old.
Nah, it was so exciting to see him just, you know, because we love him. And I think non-Geelong fans go, oh, how good's that? Sit back and watch Gazza have a day out.
Well, and I joked that he had me up out of my seat. I was up.
No, you
out
were
of
a nuffy, weren't you? Yep. You were behind the goals, full nuffy.
No work commitments from me. I got to take my dad and I got to take my young bloke Max to the footy. And now Max has been to the MCG 3 times before, 2 Hawthorn games last year and the Melbourne final last year.
Ooh.
So he doesn't exactly like the MCG. This was his first win he got to see, and him and I were hugging and carrying on when Gaz was taking hangers and kicking goals. It was a pretty special day.
It was like the perfect, like that was just exactly what people were hoping when Gaz came back, wasn't it? Like, he's not going to do this every week, but he'll probably do it reasonably regularly, but that was just such a Gary.
But his connection to the, like, he's that connector, which normally you have often a taller guy, but he can play that role because he's so smart. He knows where to get the footy, and his inside 50s generally end up.
And I think Scotty said after the game, he wasn't gifted many possessions. No. Like, he got in and got it, and geez, he's clean. And with him and Dalhouse especially, just so good in and under.
There's not too many times, though, that perhaps Gary Ablett can be overshadowed. But there was another Gaz who put on a little show on the MCG yesterday. How good was Gary Rowan? Contested marks, goals, I love him. Pressure, everything.
Yeah. You are in love with him.
I do. I just think...
Is it the red hair why you love him?
Why?
Because redheads are such good-looking blokes.
Okay, as long as you're not trying to imply that I've got red anywhere.
Oh, ginger beard. What is it?
It's Moroccan sunset.
Auburn. So he was off. How good was he?
But he was awesome. And I don't know, I probably said it already, all the stuff he does off the ball that you'd never appreciate, but for him to get reward, like, for all the effort he's put in, I just couldn't be happier for him. And he's bloody reliable in front of goal. Like, especially that set shot at the very end of the first quarter after kicking him on a minute earlier. And that just set us up.
And again, 12 possessions. That just shows.
I don't care.
Impact.
Yeah. Yep. Someday he'll have 20 and it'll be like the greatest game anybody's ever played.
That one that he came through and picked up was clean pickup on the move at speed. Now, everybody else, I believe, kicks a snap there because they'd feel like the heat is about to nail them. He just had the composure, the confidence, everything to go, no, I'll straighten and make a certainty of it. That's class, that sort of finish.
Zach, you mentioned he's deceptively solid and strong. He's like, huge, similar weight to you and Paddy Dangerfield.
Yeah, and Paddy.
And the pace he hits people.
Well, he's the only player I've seen, and maybe it stands out more because he's so quick, but the closer he gets to tackling someone, the quicker he runs. So that his last three or four steps into a tackle is actually the quickest of the whole. He doesn't set himself. He doesn't shorten his steps. Like, he just runs clean. And I don't even know if he tackles people. He literally just like arms across his chest and just cannonballs into him.
Now, that forward line is just functioning beautifully. And I mean, Tom Hawkins was the quietest of the forwards. Now, it's funny, you go to the footy, you observe what's going on and you go, oh, gee, Tommy Hawkins was well down on his usual output. And then you hear the real story that these players go through sometimes. His daughter, his baby daughter is really unwell, really sick and spent time away from the club. Probably didn't sleep for two or three days, but still turned out and played. I mean, here, knowing that, you know, Tom would still get out there because he needed to be for his team, he's the leader of that forward line, and it is functioning brilliantly under his leadership.
Oh, the structure, I mean, and we'll talk to Simon Lloyd later. I mean, they reinvented the whole thing. Yeah, men's got traded out, and Hawk was the one thing that was the constant, and the rest has changed.
Can I give another forward who I thought showed again that he belongs at AFL level, just with his composure and clean under pressure, hardness, everything like that. And I'm going to give you a compliment, Scotty. I know we don't give each other a lot of compliments.
Hang on, we're on tape.
But
8 minutes in.
I really enjoyed your
podcast. You realize these get recorded.
I hope these hit record. The article that you wrote on Tommy Atkins with Mick Atkins. I really enjoyed that read. I'm a big fan of Mick Atkins. Love what Tommy Atkins is doing. But you wrote a beautiful piece. Well done, Scotty.
Thank you.
Didn't get around to reading that one.
No, mad Mick, because for those who didn't read it, Zach, his dad was a journo originally, started with me, and then bought a fish and chip shop in Geelong and became a very wealthy man. But anyway, and he's a local legend, and he's just a hard... And he tried to get AFL. He came close three times, and you know, as we know, his boy waited 5 years, and now he's loving it.
I love the lessons of that, that... From reading that and the story of Tom Atkins about perseverance, and you're seeing it across the league now. You know, even David Hayes' son, Will, making his debut for the Bulldogs. Similar story, 5 years, VFL, you know, at times would have doubted himself, has a really strong year, wins a club best and fairest, makes the VFL team of the year, gets his opportunity, and you know, unfortunately, a bad loss for the Dogs, didn't look out of place. So those stories of perseverance I absolutely love. What about you, Zach? Speaking of perseverance.
Courage.
I reckon now how well they're going. You played in a VFL victory.
Yeah, yep.
Are we talking sort of 4, 6, 8 weeks, you reckon, before AFL? Or no, on a serious note, how did you pull up? Body felt all right, knee felt okay?
Yeah, felt great. So got through, did enough for me to feel like I could hold up to the rigors. Got sort of tackled and fell and jumped and kicked enough for me to feel really confident. Didn't exactly set the world alight, but did get through and
take
pulled up pretty well.
The enjoyment factor, because at the lower level, sometimes you might run to a spot where normally in the AFL it might come your way, Zach. Was there a little bit of, the ball's gone that way?
I'm not sure how much of it was the level and how much of it was my rustiness, but it certainly was fun. And it did seem like we had the game under control, and then it ended up being, two or three points we won by?
Three points, yep.
So, like a bit like you were just saying, just
29 up at three-quarter time.
I think it was about the time I came off, they just came back. But I did. I just became a nervous wreck on the sideline, especially when you were playing and I've kind of, I was finished for the day.
You couldn't come back on because of percentage of game time or workload that you'd set yourself?
Yeah, obviously we had to be a little bit cautious given how much footy I've missed. And actually did a bit more than we planned because I did feel so good. And yeah, I came off, kicked the boots off, thinking job done. And they turned into Barcelona pinging kicks into the middle.
What are you like with number 73 running? Hey, Shagger, give it. Did you not know some of these? Gary Ablett Senior style?
He doesn't know some of the AFL-listed players.
Yeah. That's why I'm setting him up here, because he doesn't deal with the second
No, level. No, man of the people, knew them all. They knew me. It was good fun.
Well, unfortunately, maybe fortunately for you, there is probably going to be one spot available. Is it Brandon Parfitt?
Yeah, I'm not sure how serious it is, but he looks like he tweaked his quad, I think.
And more than likely, we'll ask Simon Lloyd a little bit later on when he joins the podcast, but looks like there'll be a spot there. And a serious note again here, if there is a spot there and the match committee say, yep, let's get him, could you play one game under the belt? That's enough for you? You feel confident?
Well, yeah, I feel confident that I could, but It was a long layoff. So if they sit down with the medicals and coaches and decide that it to be safe, we'll give it another week. That would make sense to me as well. But I'll put my hand up. But there's certainly no guarantees.
The one Irishman in, one Irishman out theory's out.
Oh the Sharks not going.
Oh, the Sharks.
Yeah, the Sharks Mark not going. O'Connor.
Yeah. The Sharks.
Coaches votes.
Yep, he got in, as he should have.
Coaches' votes have been released.
Two for the Shark.
Yes, Gaz got 9, Selwood 7, Gary Rowan 4, McAvoy and Henderson for the Hawks got 4 each, and Mark O'Connor with 2 coaches' votes. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he was, and I flagged it early that he was going to play this year, and I reckon I've said at least twice already, but maybe even more, that was his best game for the club. That definitely was his best game for the club so far, and especially early when the game wasn't over till about 20 seconds to go, but geez, early under pressure, he was outstanding.
His ability to stand up in tackles and still get it off, because he's a great size. It's just like clever.
He's had a good mentor.
It's always got to come back to him, doesn't it?
What makes you think I'm talking about me?
Okay. Certain other bloke who played a right, who I just listed in those votes, Joel Selwood goes okay, doesn't he?
Yes.
Oh, God, he was good,
Well, Parfitt went out and the old skipper said, all right, I'll get my hands dirty, get me back in, a bit of clearance work, a bit of grunt.
That moment when the switch into the middle was at Ben McAvoy and he just went back, he was wide open. Mm. You got a monster about to mow you down and created a turnover and the Cats kick a goal off the back of it. He just, I shouldn't be amazed anymore because I've seen him do it a million times. Yeah, but sometimes because it's not newsworthy with Joel doing it, we go, oh, well, that's just Joel.
Yeah.
But
it should be acknowledged.
90%, 99% of people out there just don't go back in that situation. Yeah. They work out a way to be clever and let it spill and
just
clean
not
it
quite
up.
Get there.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
What's great about this team this year is we're not talking about Joel having 32 every week. Like, we're celebrating this because he stepped up and had a big one, but Kelly was again good. You know what I mean?
Atkins went on ball in the end.
It's not always, oh, Joel's in there and, oh, Captain Courageous. He doesn't have to do it every week this year. Whereas previously it's like, oh, Joel was in there. You know what I mean? It's refreshing to see it. Mm.
It's nice being able to swing him from the wing in there, isn't it?
Go in there. Skip. Get it done.
Get it done. Tim Kelly, great again. Oh. Bounced back from a rare quiet one last week. We're going to take a break in a second. I will say, now I couldn't help myself. It's just there and it will never, ever leave me when Geelong play the Hawks. Early on in that last quarter, I did turn to my dad, who has been through some of those Geelong Hawthorn moments with me, And I said something along the lines of, because everybody in the crowd around us was starting to just chat as though they were at a nice little picnic. And I said, do people realise this is a Geelong Hawthorn game? It's not over. And then Henderson kicks that one from the boundary. Yeah, and for 5 minutes or so there, I had this sick feeling in my stomach. But all's well. I took a breath after that. Yeah. And they got the win.
Right there with you.
Let's take a break. We'll get to breaking down a bit more of the VFL after the break. We'll answer some of your questions. Keep sending them in, fans@geelongcats.com.au or via social media. And a little bit later on, we will be talking with GM of footy, Simon Lloyd, who just happens to time his runs nicely when this he comes ridiculous. On this podcast after your great goal against Melbourne.
Did we have to admit we're going to get through one episode?
So embarrassing.
He came
poor
in.
Poor old Zach gets hounded all the time about this.
He came in after that one last year, and now he's coming after a great Easter Monday win. So hopefully it'll be a nice, gentle chat. I want you to get some nice, hard-hitting questions for him, Scotty. Come
Zach's
off the long
contract
run.
Situation is number one.
All right, let's take a break. Be back soon. Enjoy 40% off tickets to the 4th Annual Powercore Country Festival clash between the Cats and Bombers on Sunday, May 5th at the MCG. Before you watch the players in action on the field, head to the Farmers Market in Yarra Park to experience regional purveyors, farm demonstrations, kids' activities, animals and much, much more. Stick around for a performance from award-winning singer Casey Chambers on the Levi's Workwear main stage at the market too.
Remember KROQ Football covers every single Cats game across Australia live every weekend.
Welcome back to the Final Bell, brought to you by Thirsty Camel. I'm going to give a quick VFL recap now. We've touched a little bit on the fact that our man here, Zach Tui, has got through okay, and we're going to ask Simon Lloyd in a second when he comes on just how close he is and some of the chats that are going on already about Zach Tui taking his place in the AFL team on Sunday at GMHBA Stadium, taking on the West Coast Eagles. The VFL Cats had that 3-point thrilling win that Zach referred to. They were going all right, very nicely. And then, well, as Zach said, when he came off, the wheels fell off and Werribee came flying back.
Metaphorical poo hit the fan.
Held on by 3 points, 12-12, 84 to 12-9, 81. The best players for the Cats was Ryan Abbott, the number one man there, which was great to see. Zach Guthrie continues his good form, as does James Parsons and Quinton Narkle. And Darcy Fort was in there as well. So a real positive, and Zach did get through and hopefully won't be too far away from playing AFL football. Let's get to your questions. We love the questions from the listeners out there.
Well, last week they were all from Ireland and on Zach's email. So who else have we got this year?
No, I don't. Well, unless he's learnt what a nom de plume.
Oh, yes,
what
that's
a nom
a big
de
word.
Plume is. This isn't from Zach, and I don't think there are any down his track. fans@geelongcats.com.au is how you get in contact with us, or via Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. The Geelong Cats, ones of those. We can start with Dan, and we might have already touched on this a little bit. Dan asked the question, should Joel Selwood stay in the middle?
No.
The feeling was it is such a luxury to be able to have him go into the middle and be Joel Selwood, or to be able to just be really damaging on the wing and play that.
And go in reasonably fresh, given he was just coming from the wing. Ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Interesting, we didn't mention Cam Guthrie earlier. So he came in, and what role? He was in the middle.
Was he playing at all run with?
What role was it?
On O'Meara, or not really?
He played really well.
He clearly was kind of going to Moran stoppages, but
yeah,
it was a long way off being a tag, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought not so much a tag, but maybe a
accountability sort of thing.
Can you call it a run with at stoppages role? Like a, yeah, take
I'm
their
not
body?
Sure.
But there's another guy who we just rolled through the midfield.
And he hit the ground running.
Yeah, he looked good.
Which I think on the point of making sure that the VFL form is really good, and there's a number of blokes in really good VFL form, so that should the opportunity present, you're ready to go.
For him, we say he's in the best 22, but he would have played knowing, hang on, if I don't play well. Like, whereas previous years, he would just stroll back in. There's pressure on.
Oh, you'll love this one,
Scotty. Oh, good, good.
Hayden asks the question, is Ablett, I'm talking Gary Jr. there, better than his old man?
No. But the stats would say Gary Jr. is probably... No, I mean, I grew up watching Gary Sr. and I was sat out there and I didn't even support Geelong and he did stuff that just blew my head.
Gary Jr. is a more complete...
Correct.
...modern footballer and a midfield footballer. And we'll
have a better CV when he finishes.
Yeah. But Gary Sr. did things that nobody could do in a football field.
Sorry.
And to be really sort of... This is way too harsh on Gary Jr. Gary Jr.'s hangout yesterday...
Oh.
Was very good. But Gary Sr. would have stood on that bloke's
head. He went high and then he didn't quite, and he got halfway up.
He's 35. That's probably way too harsh.
No, I'm a senior man.
Yeah, I am too. And maybe it was in my magic years of being a kid and just, I was six rows back behind that 94 prelim. Thought it was the greatest moment ever when Gary took the mark on Mick Martin. You know, 1993, he kicked, 130-something goals in 13 games?
Yeah, see, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Oh. But that feels like I'm taking something away from Gary Jr. because he's phenomenal.
How many Brownlows? Two.
Two.
Yeah.
Sean asks, is Grian Myers a star of the future? Easy question. Yes.
Yeah, how good's he look? Oh,
footy smarts.
Yeah, his craft is elite. I think I said that before he even played a game. He's got a huge tank. And he'll improve every aspect of his game, but nah, he's even
I know he's goalkeeper. He's got that innate goal sense, but he's kicking to position too. The Paddy Dangerfield goal where Paddy led Sicily under the ball and ended up soccering off the ground and getting a goal. Paddy actually nearly butchered that because if he hadn't have,
he could have just taken.
He thought the kick was going to drop short, but Myers' kick was so perfect.
Yeah,
that Paddy could have just dropped back and taken a simple mark. But I think even Paddy was shocked by how beautiful a kick it was.
He's going to be a good long term player.
And the more confidence, the more arrogant. Like when he'll have that arrogance of a goal sneak.
And Caleb, well, actually, Caleb's given us another fairly easy one as well. I'm not disrespecting your question here, Caleb. We appreciate you sending it in. But is Tim Kelly becoming one of the league's elite players?
Mm. Oh, he has been.
Yes.
For 10 games into his career.
I think we were almost so shocked last year, just as the footy public, again, not internal, shocked about how good he was so quickly that it had to drop off. You can't keep playing like this. And, you know, the distraction of the contract that I'm sure you'll ask Lloydie about in a second was he can't keep that level of first year play. There'll be some drop off and he'll be impacted by all these distractions. He'll have maybe just an average second year. No, he's just
better again. He's better again.
And getting tagged.
Mm. Yeah, he's legitimately in the best handful of midfielders in the league.
And the new rules helps him? Center square work, just let him go.
Touch more onto room. It. Yeah.
Everyone get out of the way and let TK go.
Daniel Howe tried to tag him.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job. Mark, did it?
Oh, took him to the clean.
He's not going to play two bad games in a row for his whole career, TK. Yeah.
And maybe it was a tiny little learning experience. Oh, he's always learning of last week is if you play a little bit hurt, not saying he shouldn't have played, but a little bit hurt, it is very difficult to play AFL standard football and had a poor one. So he's going, right, okay, I'll get my body 100% or as close as you can right again. And I learnt from it, bang, here we go.
Yep.
Here's how I'm going to handle it. And wow, what a player. What a footballer. Yeah. Oh, I love watching him play.
He's class.
Yep. No, absolutely. Again, appreciate you sending the questions in there. And I wasn't being disrespectful by saying easy questions. I think we're just so excited by the way Grian Myers is going and Tim Kelly is playing. Yes, Brian. I keep forgetting. Do you call him Brian?
Yeah, it's because it's his name. It's a soft G. It's German.
German.
Brian Myers. If I go with that in a commentary. But do you know how many people out there will think that I'm serious and I've mispronounced the bloke's name?
Just back yourself. Stop listening to the
public. Did you see my little ginger BT after... when I worked on Saturday night after the Richmond Sydney game.
Don't take this personally, okay? Yeah. But I actively avoid you when you come on TV. So I did
miss
that
one. You can't take it personally. How do I not take that personally?
So if the remote control is not within reach, I put two pillows to my ears and go, hey, it's happening again.
You ginger BT'd the Richmond.
No, because Zach, after round one, questioned that when I did my little interviews out in the ground and just roll with it, it was purely because the Cats had won and I was being a
allegation
full liniment sniffer. I did it no matter what, and I did it with Richmond and had a good chat with Dusty and Shane Edwards.
Sydney one wasn't great. You walked in from the car park.
Oh, with Isaac Heaney?
Yeah.
Tell me you don't love Isaac Heaney.
Yeah,
well.
I do.
He plays footy the
You're
right
the
way.
Problem. We've been through this. I like Isaac.
Scotty, how can I not take this personally? No. All right, that's it. We're taking
he did
a break.
Preface you know it with, don't take it personally.
Potentially, I'm going to walk out and just not do this last segment. You both can talk to Simon Lloyd. No, because that would be and he's just walked in, so I'll stay and have a chat with Lloydie. And imagine if you had to intro it and try and conduct an interview with Lloydie. You'd just make a mess of it. You'd
but Lloydie, no, we're going
to fawning over him because you just want to make sure you're in the team.
Oh, yeah, no, I would do that. Yeah. Given the week that's in it, I would do that.
All right, Simon Lloyd's coming up next. Let's have a break. Enjoy 40% off tickets to the 4th Annual Powercore Country Festival clash between the Cats and Bombers on Sunday, May 5th at the MCG. Before you watch the players in action on the field, head to the Farmers Market in Yarra Park to experience regional purveyors, farm demonstrations, kids' activities, animals and much, much more. Stick around for a performance from award-winning singer Casey Chambers on the Levi's Workwear main stage at the Market 2.
Get all the latest news from the AFL, GFL, BFL and GDFL at krockfootball.com.au.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Final Bell, brought to you by Thirsty Camel, and we've got our special guest this week, GM of football, General Manager of football, Simon Lloyd. Lloydie, great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Zach's been looking forward to this one. Always loves the opportunity to interview you and hit you with all the hard questions, but I'll just get one out of the way really quickly. It's been a very happy podcast so far because we're fresh off a fantastic win, just the early part of the season. Coming into the season, looked like a really tough first five or six games. A few of them at home, which helped, but a really tough group. You must be rapt with the way this group has started season 2019.
Yeah, Lingy, if you'd said at the start of the year that after looking at the fixture we'd be sitting 4-1, you'd take it. But I know at the moment we wouldn't take it because you get a bit, I suppose, selfish in a way, and you think, well, we'd rather be sitting 5-0 at the moment. But enjoy the day after, and come this afternoon, you know, we'll start thinking about West Coast. So that's the way it generally works. And also just working through different things. You know, there's aspects of our game we continually work on, but you do need to enjoy the wins as well because they're hard to come by.
We've been blown away from afar, certainly not internally. You guys wouldn't have been because you would have been working on it every day at pre-season, but how well the forward line is functioning at the moment. The midfield's strong and deep and have added elements to it again with Charlie Constable and the like. The back line looked absolutely rock solid last year anyway. But take us back to your on the list management committee and part of that really important group. The decisions around identifying, first of all, where the weaknesses were in the team to be able to get the group to take the next step, picking who was going to fill those and from other clubs, some from our own VFL, some and some being draftees, and then almost seamlessly implementing them. Can you run us through the decisions around the list management and fixing up those couple of problem areas for the team?
Yeah, look, they're tough decisions. Obviously, there's people that have been here for a long period of time, and people that are Geelong people and valued people within the club. And there's different decisions you need to make, and some are through obviously thinking long term. Others are through injury, and we needed to make some decisions late last year, and we've ended up with 10 first years that have come into our program from this time last year, plus two others in Rowan and Delhouse. So 12 new players, we've had something like 30 changes, close to 30 changes in 3 years. So, huge change through the group. But the mixture of those 10 first years, it's made up of, Tommy Atkins, and then you have an Oscar Brownless, and Darcy Fort, who's your mature age as well. So it's a real mix of players that we brought in. But I suppose we needed to address, you do really reflect a lot on, we're accountable by our actions, and that last game we played last year against Melbourne in the final, and they're big moments. But we wanted to pressure more coming out of our forward 50. We're ranked ninth in the competition for getting an inside forward 50 and keeping it in there. So that was an area we need to improve. So, you know, hopefully we've addressed it.
How big was round one? Like, you recruited for it and you sort of put your hand up and said, right, we're going down this track. But then round one, you trotted all the kids out, six new players. Was that not gutsy, but was that you had to stand your ground and go, this is where we're going, we've got to do it round one?
Yeah, from the outside, internally, it didn't feel like no. We were standing our ground and backing ourselves in. It was, and Reg will talk to this as well. When you see that group of players through pre-season, even players like Ryan Myers, he's got a year of work. And if you were to rank players as in the volume of work and how well they did over pre-season, Ryan would be in the top three. Yeah. He had an outstanding pre-season, but he forced his way in. Mm. So you sort of reward for effort. And even the first couple of JLT games here then, it was really hard to push him out of the team. So real credit to him. But I suppose, getting Charlie Constable to play his first game and, you know, Tommy Atkins coming in and Jordan Clark as well, you know, coming from WA, and obviously he was our first round pick last year. It's exciting to see. And I think as much... You know, footy's about energy as well, and you know, building the momentum, and you can really see that you've got a really connected group of players that care a lot about each other.
Yeah, well, with the younger guys, I said it before round one. It's nice to quote unquote expose young players, but we're in the business of winning games, and they wouldn't be picked if they weren't part of our best team.
Yeah.
And we've got a reasonably healthy list at the minute. All those guys, even going into round one, they were picked because those were the guys who coaches and the players felt were going to give us best chance at winning, like which is a much better position than just playing them because they're young. Playing them because they're young and they're in our best team.
It's exactly what you're after, isn't it? And one of those players, Charlie Constable, you mentioned, didn't play against the Hawks. Just how you manage young players, because it is a huge first season. I know it's not his first season on the AFL list, but playing AFL football's a whole new level than just playing VFL. I think Corey Enright, one of the assistant coaches, said it was a pretty split 50-50 decision on whether or not to rest Charlie for Monday's game. Can you just tell the audience how you work the balance between games into them, what Zach's talking about, making sure they're going to help the team win, but also managing them long-term throughout this season and into future years?
I suppose part of my role is to keep stepping out of what's going on day-to-day, and with Chris Scott and others, it's just talking about, you know, looking, you know, further down the track, and... It's a challenge. Yeah, we've got other players. I've met this morning with Shane O'Brien, and we're talking about who's playing well within our VFL team. And you've got, and it was even a conversation I had with two players prior to the game yesterday. Zach Guthrie and James Parsons are in great form. They're probably playing better football than they were this time last year, and they're playing senior footy last year. So it's managing the expectations, but also they can't control the decisions that are made at match committee. And but at some stage, nothing stays the same.
Just out of interest, I wasn't going to ask this, but when it does come to a bit of a 50-50 decision, is there an old school chairman of the match committee? What was it called? Chairman of selectors?
Yeah, chairman of selectors.
Or is it the senior coach who has the final say? If it's debated around and thrown around, everyone's opinion's taken into it, is it the senior coach who makes the final call?
Look, there are times where we just sleep on it. Yeah, so you'll go away and come back to it further down the track and... discuss it a bit more, but I've seen Scotty's very open-minded, where he can be, you know, his opinion can be changed, and I think even at times if James Raleigh and Shane O'Brien, who head up our academy, have got really strong views on things, they'll play vision, you know, to the coaches and try and show. And but basically what's happened is you've got a group of players, a large group of players at VFL level that are playing some consistently solid football, and which is healthy, and it also puts pressure on the senior team as well.
I heard on the weekend an interesting one about Scotty. Post match, he doesn't talk till the next day. Is that new this year? Or
No, he never did.
Even
that's back fantastic. In his first year.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful. I think a lot of clubs emotions are running. Growing up playing footy, and we all always had the coach
straight into
it after the game,
chairs thrown,
and I think a lot of the players are, no offence, Lingy, but a lot more astute now in regards to they're watching. Yeah, we've got, you know, today players will be watching their vision and looking at three or four different camera angles, and so they'll know. So you need to make sure that you're very clear in your points. And I suppose what we're trying to do is, through the club, there's an element of calmness. So I'd like to think that you walk through the footy department today and you wouldn't know whether we've won or lost. And it should reflect that. And after the Giants lost last week, you know, you're flat for a day or so. And but it's really important. And Zach and I and the leadership group often discuss this, that, you know, that group determines, you know, the environment as well, and their influence through the group is so important.
Couple of ones just to get out of the way very quickly. This might not work because of when this podcast will go to air, but Tom Hawkins, case to answer, no case to answer. What's the feedback at the moment? What are you hearing, MRO?
I had Tom text me about 15 minutes ago. Yeah, he did. And said, what do you think? So there's a classification table. So I don't know if you've had a good look at that. And
it can't be suspended.
It's whether it's intentional or careless. What type of impact is it? Is it low? Is it medium? So it's all around the impact, whether it's low or medium.
It's got to be low.
So low will get you a fine. Medium will get you a week. And, you know, and then whether it's to the head or the body, and it's obviously to the body. So... consistency is what we're after, and you know, it's in Michael Christian's hands.
William Jones, round one, again, they set the precedent. His was more forceful than Tomahawk's.
You reckon they stick to the precedent, do you, Scotty? Brandon Parfitt, what's the update with him?
So we're still waiting on scans. So at the moment, it's his non-dominant leg, so non-kicking leg, and it's a mild quad strain, but we'll wait and see till we get the scans.
And not pushing his case at all, but the bloke sitting right next to you.
Can you let the listeners know what's on his T-shirt? What's it say?
What does it say?
Good things.
Good things.
Good things happen when Zach Tui's in the house. What's the early discussion? What's the early conversations around our mate here?
It's interesting. I was watching Zach very closely, as were every other coach was there down at Chirnside Park on the weekend, and... you cannot replicate a game of football with training. That's what I did see at one stage. Zach jumped, he pirouetted it and hit the deck and then twisted one way and moved well. Towards the end of the game, he had some long transition run defensively as well. And got dumped and tackled a number of times as well. So it moved freely.
And the ball avoided him a bit, Simon. That was a bit
I was doing transition runs on purpose.
And the ball's
just trying to get cares in the league. I felt good.
You don't have to push your case any further with Lloydie.
Sounds like I might.
Now, so there's been we've focused on the young guys, but some of the old boys, Harry Taylor, can you give us a little insight into, he's a different player, fit. How hard is it when guys like him and Paddy have niggles, but they're senior players, so they carry it all year? And you hear the criticism and you want to go, oh, hang on, but they won't let you do it. Do you know what I mean? It's just different players. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and there were players in both teams on the weekend. Obviously, Hawthorn were depleted, and we have players come in with carrying certain issues, but... for some that have had really interrupted pre-seasons and haven't got a really good run at it, Paddy had the hip injury last year that he suffered in the international rules series, and it took him, he'd come good and then he'd, go backwards, and he was just up against it for a period of time, but still played some great footy, obviously. And Harry, it's well documented, his foot issues, but he's in a really good place at the moment. Yeah. And that's really, from our end, we're in a position at the moment, say with Lockie Henderson, we've been conservative. He's now back running and he's moving along nicely. So we've got to be really smart with those decisions.
Harry just looks like Harry.
Whatever year it was.
All intercept marks.
2009.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a brick wall. He has been all year. Yeah, but he's the most... For what it's worth, he's the most diligent and professional player.
Yeah, he always has been. But last year. Now, one of our favourites on here is the Shark.
Yes.
The other Irishman. And Zach, to his credit, pumps him up. But his game and his development is off the charts.
And obviously, yes, I know you've said it tongue in cheek before, but you know, Zach has really given Mark incredible guidance over a period of time. It's quite interesting in the Shifter Sheehan brought a group of Irish boys down to the rooms pre-game. So they're visiting at the moment. So there were half a dozen Irish boys, and they were all dressed a certain way. And I had Luke Dalhouse walk past me and said, "Guess which country those guys are from?" And so it was quite interesting. Luke Dalhouse and I were having a great chuckle about the Irish dress
green
sense.
Green wears, of course.
They all had the same hairstyles. And then we were having a good laugh with Mark O'Connor about a pre-game. Yeah. So we like to be pretty relaxed pre-game. But Mark, his development, his mum was there yesterday, so she was pretty chuffed. But he is just... you talk about professionalism and wanting to take his game to another level and being well balanced. It was quite interesting on the drive home last night. I pulled up at the lights and this Ford station wagon pulled up next to me and the windows came down and they could not have packed any more players in the car. There was Sava Radicalia, Jack Henry was driving, Papa was in the car, Mark O'Connor and Zach Guthrie, and they were all squeezed in there. But you've got a close, connected group. And even having Rowan and Dalhouse and Tommy Atkins come into the team, and their demographic is, you know, mid, 25, 26, 27 years old. There's a real connection between that younger group and the senior group, and those guys help.
So, sorry, Lingy, I know there's three of us now, so it won't be in the next year or two, but how much of a future do you see with the Irish, bringing the Irish lads across? How much more, how much longer will it last, do you reckon?
I'd say Troy Selwood wants to base himself there.
Yeah, he's happy with it, isn't he?
It's called a junket.
Yeah. there's obviously some real talent, and we have a heavy focus in that space, and looking at Stefan Ockenburg, you think about Stefan in 2 to 3 years' time. So what we see right now, it's amazing for somebody to come over, have never played the game, and he's working, his body's getting used to the rigours of the game at the moment.
Hell of a body too.
Yeah, it is. And but his parents are here at the moment, and he's aggressive, and has a real hunger. And that's probably the one thing I've seen, and I've seen a number of Irish players come in over a period of time, and you can just see their will and their drive to succeed, which is a real standout with a lot of the Irish boys.
Well, when you look at the rewards that even just Geelong Football Club has got from the investment in that area, so obviously Zach and coming from Carlton, which credit to Carlton as well, but then see Stefan, Mark O'Connor, and then you see Mark Blitzer as the... It's called the Category B
rookie.
How much investment on return? So how much can you put into investment into going to find the likes of a Mark O'Connor or a Mark Blitzarves and develop them and teach them? And some might not work out versus the return you get. You see some of the returns here and you go, wow, absolutely worth it. Where's the balance with you as GM of footy, who's got to spend the footy department cap a certain way as well? How do you balance that investment on return?
It's interesting in this role because there's demands.
You have so budgets.
If you take something from one area, you take it from another area, and you're in this role. You have whether it's money going towards coaching, recruiting, mismanagement, medical, physios, psychology, the lot. It's AFLW. It's big, but I think the investment in this space has been, we've got it back in spades to this point, so we'll keep investing. And there's significant decisions that are made because, one decision like this can change the course of how the team is going as well. They're big decisions.
Now, Tim Kelly's clearly struggling with the pressure he's under. In all seriousness, how do you handle it? I mean, he's playing great. He says he loves being here, but every second week, the questions asked. How do you internally and with him deal with that?
Yeah, we have open. It's open dialogue. It's Tim and I. Yeah, we're seeing each other every day. Yeah. So, as you said, Tim's got this incredible ability to compartmentalise. He's got three
phenomenal
young children away from home, and his ability to come in and his professional nature. I think even obviously it's been well documented the request for the trade, and when that didn't happen, I sat in the car park when returned from from the trade period in Melbourne, and spoke to Tim on the phone, and he said, well, it hasn't happened, so I'm going to do everything I can to help this club win a premiership. So that sort of tells you a fair bit about Tim. So we're in constant communication, like we are with all players. It's not just Tim. There are a number of players that are out of contract, coming in and out of contract. So we're constantly having those discussions with managers and working through them.
Scotty wanted to know one last thing before we do let you go and get back to the important job. The Lloyd Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Christmas lunch at the Lloyd household.
Because not everyone, I think, the listeners out would understand. Matthew is younger brother and Brad's at Carlton now.
So between the Carlton, you've got that evil person who's in the media there,
what
Matthew.
If they go through your phones or they still. How do you deal with the dynamic?
It's an interesting one. I remember years ago. Yeah, we were sitting around the dinner table and I was grilling Matt about... Matt was a bit younger at that time. He'd just gone to Essendon and I was asking lots of questions. And I was at Hawthorn at the time and Matt was just spilling everything out. My mum, Bev, just said, Matt, just enough, stop talking. He's just... I had him early days. But there's been times around the dinner table where mum's just said, yeah... My dad's a footy tragic.
Yeah, so he wants to know.
And so mum will say, enough, no more footy talk, and there's just crickets, just silence around the table. She's going, all right, you can talk footy. So it's, yeah, my sister Kylie, she's been involved at Channel 9 footy show, and yeah, so it's everything's footy. So that's we love it. We love it.
Wouldn't you just be dying to put your tape recorder in the middle of that table and say, just go for it. I get everyone a beer? And
older brother says to the younger brother, stop whacking Zach Tui. You know, stop criticising our players.
We better let you go. We really appreciate your time. Keep doing the wonderful job that you are doing. And I know it's an exciting year, but also a big year. You mentioned Tim Kelly as an example, Gary Ablett, Harry Taylor, all these great veterans, legends of the football club. Lots of decisions to be made. We'd love to talk to you again later on in the season. But for now, enjoy the rest of the year. Good luck for it. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Cam. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Zach.
Wookies.
Always great to have a chat with Simon Lloyd. We've got some fantastic guests lined up for the next few weeks on the podcast. I think we might even be talking with recruiting guru, not Stephen Wells, but his protege.
Brother of.
Troy Selwood in the next week or two, which will be great.
Cameron, do you feel inferior when Simon's... Like, we dress well for this. I'm looking pretty good today.
I never dress well.
Lucky it's not on...
We dress well for this.
But how smooth is your man?
Yeah, no,
I've never seen a ruffled hair.
No, it's pristine, but we definitely don't dress well for this.
Is he like Roger Federer and doesn't sweat? Like, he just looks like one of those, you know what I mean?
He's had all his sweat glands removed. It's a dangerous surgery.
Phenomenal.
Very good. Let's get to For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yes. So
your favourite segment.
It is.
For the new listeners, I will just quickly say For Whom the Bell Tolls is where we get to... Well, we just get to be random and say anything and everything about
anything's in our gun or radar or whatever you want to call it.
We come in, we don't tell each other what we're going to do, and it scares me with what Scott or Zach have lined up because we've gone down some interesting topics.
Kids along.
What have you got,
Scott? Right, now, last week, I don't think we mentioned it. I'm pretty sure we didn't. The fire at Notre Dame. Tragic.
Yes.
Love Paris, love Notre Dame. Zach, your thoughts on the money situation? And how they want people to give them money to rebuild.
Well, they've got people.
Yeah,
so people are doing it of their own accord, which is fine.
Yeah, I like that.
It's still a nice thing to do. I just think it's very hard to justify. They've gotten over a billion.
Yes.
It's hard to justify. And a couple of, I think, French millionaires have given 600 million each or whatever.
It is amazing.
Which is kind. It's not them, but it's hard to justify that with all that's going on for a building.
And Australia, foreign governments to feel they need to contribute? I'm very confused.
Yeah, this makes no sense to me.
I don't know. The Catholic Church doesn't have any money. They're not a wealthy...
go and sell a ceiling or something. Two of them. Yeah. It's hard to justify.
It's an odd. I mean, we're all horrified, but this is the money... And
for a building, yeah.
For Australian government to go, yeah, we'll help. Hang on.
They're not going to, are they?
No.
Oh, they talked about it.
Old man Malcolm misread Turnbull the situation there terribly.
Yeah, let's all do give that. Money.
Why?
Anyway, I thought that was an interesting topic.
Yes, no.
I knew my man. On my
I haven't
right
agreed with you not, and for whom the bell tolls know, ever, and I'm with you on that
one.
Except
the plastic bags. No. Oh, that was off air. You agreed with that.
No way. I fully agree with you on this one. Zach, have you got one for us?
Yep. So.
You did, but are you going to make this up?
No, go. This happened.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I
playground?
Hate
cafe
people who... Let's say me and you, what day is today?
You used the word hate
it's
again.
It's Tuesday. Dislike. No, I do, but I properly hate them.
Okay.
So it's Tuesday. Let's say me and you were having lunch tomorrow.
Oh, yep. No.
And we were talking
out. Not that you've ever invited me, but yep.
Waitress.
Sure. Yeah, right. Bad example. Yep. Scotty, let's say me and you were having, having lunch
our regular
tomorrow.
Catch up. Yeah.
If we were talking today and I said something like, oh, actually, do you know what? Never mind. I'll tell you about it Wednesday. I hate people who say the name of the day when what they mean is tomorrow. So if something's if it's Tuesday and we're meeting up tomorrow and you say, I'll tell you Wednesday, that's unnecessarily confusing.
Oh, I never know what day it is anyway.
It happened Friday. I was doing a bit of training Saturday and he said, we'll suss it out on Saturday. I went home confused.
Do you mean next Saturday one after?
Well, it's unnecessarily ambiguous. So if you're one of those people, I hate you with all my soul. I know. I just intensely disliked them. A bit like what was last week?
That wasn't kids, waitresses,
stand up.
No, desks. That was me. Stand up. Desks. Okay.
Well, who did I dislike last week?
I think just you were people happy in general.
No. You did. You went.
You can leave
with
this
someone.
In because we're not moving
no,
on.
No,
to
no, this is
who,
good. This is good.
I intensely podcast people who radio. All can tell babies they look like.
Oh, your sister.
Yeah. Hate your sister. Is what
so
you
I hate
said
my sister
week.
And I hate one of the guys who's done all my rehab for me and got me back fit. So those two people. Is it weird?
No, it is weird.
No, you mean tomorrow?
Just roll with tomorrow.
This I'm feeling a little uncomfortable because I agree with both of you today.
Wow,
it's the first time for the year. Before we leave, I don't have a for whom the bell tolls, but I do. As part of it, I wanted to ask you a question on an absolute great of the AFL game and a ripping bloke too, by the sounds of it. And a couple of times I've quickly had conversations. Eddie Betts.
Oh yes,
300 games, just a lazy six in his 300th game, including one from one of the pockets that he owns at the Adelaide Oval. Tell it. You played together at Carlton. What was he like? What is he like? Just a ripper.
Yeah. When I first got to the club, I can't remember how early on, but very early on, it was the first, I suppose, night out I ever had here. But it was Eddie just randomly came up to me, invited me to his house. We went and had dinner and had a few drinks, probably watched the footy. And then kind of towards the back end of the night, he was asking me, what did I want to do? Do I want to go out or are we happy to stay here? And he was doing all this. And I'm thinking, you know me as well as like any random stranger on the street. Like, and I just kind of embarrassed. And I think we just sat at his house. But that was him in a nutshell. Yeah. Like, you know, and that's only a small example I know, but I still remember it 10 years later. And that just sums him up. He opens his doors to everyone.
So just a really welcoming, caring person.
But just genuinely a decent person. Like, there's no act with Eddie. Like, he is the kindest person I've met. And that comes through when he talks about football and he just wants to enjoy it and he has his priorities straight.
It was really interesting and enlightening for me reading, obviously, a big build-up to his 300th game and all the stories. Hearing again, you know, when he did first get to Carlton,
he was loose.
Yeah, was off the rails a bit and needed to straighten up and all that. And just his story that he came through, it's a remarkable football journey, but also life journey for him.
Absolutely.
An absolute star. And
the theatre of the goal, though. No. I mean, seriously.
Who does that?
Yeah,
that
he kicks them 9 out of 10, though. That's the thing.
But it's not like a rarity.
No, exactly.
You can't accuse him of just slamming it on his boot.
Trademark, there it is. It was amazing.
To just put a full stop on his 300th game, to get a tweet from the great Lee Matthews basically saying one of his favourite players and one of his best players and comparing him to Peter Dacos and saying more consistently and better than Peter Dacos with those amazing goals from Lee Matthews. I just frame that tweet and put it up on my wall and go, okay, I'm done. I'll hit the pinnacle here.
He's really at risk of becoming bigger than the game. He's just like, isn't he? Though? He's just sort of transcending the game as a figure.
He's a hero.
Yeah, amazing.
An absolute ripper. We better wind it up there. We've had a good chat. Really appreciate Simon Lloyd coming in to talk to us. As I mentioned, we will have a number of great guests over the next few weeks. A big Sunday coming up at GMHBA Stadium, the Twilight Game on Sunday against the West Coast Eagles. And
it's a special day.
A special day. It'll be a celebration.
I hope everyone turns up, Zach. If you get invited to a big event, normally you turn up. It means a lot to your football club.
Yeah,
it would move heaven, earth, all those cliches.
The 2009 Premiership reunion, celebrating this Sunday, guys' 10-year reunion. Yep. Fantastic. A couple of players from that time will unfortunately be absent due to their commitment to other things.
That includes myself.
I'll be in Tasmania for work.
You're choosing what? $50 you get paid for Mickey Mouse radio?
How many fist pumps from his former teammates do you reckon when they heard he wasn't going to be there?
There's been an increase in numbers.
Celebrations. Cam Mooney unfortunately won't be able to make it as well because of the same reason
that's actually a pity, that one.
Joel Corey, also as an assistant coach of the Western Bulldogs. But everybody else will be there or involved in the day, of course, because we've got a number of people in the coach's box for the Cats. And one bloke? No, three blokes. You're right. I've just got the three. That's right. Harry was there then. Tom Hawkins, Joel Selwood and Harry Taylor will still be running around on the football field. There will be
a little Gaz.
There will be a lap. Oh, Gaz as well. Gaz was solid, wasn't
he? Probably won a Brownlow that year.
Oh, pumped Gaz up enough. He won the Brownlow that year, didn't he?
So lap of honour. So you miss out on
there will be a lap, and the big. I would have loved to have taken the kids out with me, and
it's disappointing because in 2 years you got another one.
No, it honestly is disappointing. It'll be a fantastic day. So please, everyone, get along, cheer on the Cats. More importantly, they're sitting top of the ladder against the reigning premiers. It'll be a huge game of football, but also get along and cheer on those 2009 Premiership boys. Maxie Rook will be there, the great Max Rook, the heart and soul. He was huge in that 2009 grand final. First goal, last goal. So come along and cheer, everyone. Big run of games to come. Essendon Sunday at the MCG. North Melbourne Sunday at Marvel Stadium. The Doggies back here at GMHBA Stadium. And then the Suns at Metricon. So a big 5 weeks for the Cats. But Sunday's game will be an absolute ripper against the West Coast Eagles. Thank you, Scotty. Thank
pleasure.
You, Zach.
Good luck, Zach.
Fingers crossed we are watching you on Sunday. Hopefully. Against the Eagles. Thank you to everybody who listened and to sending in those questions. Really appreciate that. We will be back again next week.